good if after 2 weeks we were reciting a lot of slichas and shuva. And a lot of the slichas is very confusing. We say the yudginus, we say the yudin, we say slichas, all kinds of things. I'm wishing back and forth if you use this kind of slichas, it doesn't go in order. Very confusing. There's a lot to study and to understand exactly what is going on in the slichas. What are we talking about? What are we asking for? I wanted to spend the evening tonight just to explain one phrase. Every time we recite the Yudin Lidus, we introduce it with the Chinuch. The first time we introduce it with the Chinuch, Kerzah HaTachanah, Malarach, and the Kresa. And the rest of the time we introduce it with the Chinuch, Kerzah, Yoshua, Kisei, Rachana. If you use this slich, it's printed on the two sides of the page. On the right side, you have this big fat text that's bigger than the other one. On the left side, you have the skinny one. And as a child, I used to wonder, what's going on? Why did he say the first time this time, and then switch? He said, the other one, what's going on? So I always used to think that it's my Kehler HaTayim. It's printed in the Seder from Monday and Thursday morning. So there are two versions of this
tefillah.
So some Kehillahs said one version, some said the other version. So I thought that we have two nuschos of a prayer over here. Two nuschos of a prayer over here. So the first time you say this one, the next time you say that one. Then I always wonder, so why don't we switch back? We say the third time this one, the fourth time that one. Why do we always say the all the time we say the next one? After many years I came to the realization that that's not the story. It's not that there are two different versions of a piyut, of a slichah here, of the alternate. There is a cheshbon over here, and there's a reason why the first time we say the first text, Kerala HaKayim, and all the rest of the times we say Kerala Yeshua Kisei Rachamim. And on Yom Kippur night, we don't say Kerala HaKayim. Start right away for the first time, the Kerala Yeshua Kisirah. So in order to explain this, I want to dedicate the talk tonight to understanding the phrase of Mavir Rishon Rishon. The phrase appears in the Gemara that God forgives all of our sins, Rishon Rishon. The Gemara, it seems to me the following, that if a person sinned 100 times, and God at the end of the year starts to calculate how many mitzvahs we have done, how many averis we have done, so all of the mitzvahs that we did, he includes. Every single mitzvah, great mitzvah, little mitzvah, he includes all of the mitzvahs when he tallies up the cheshbon, when he makes the total cheshbon. As far as the averis are concerned, so he's very commonly used as a break. So in case there's somebody who spoke perhaps Lashon Hara maybe 10 times during the year, let's imagine. Someone spoke Lashon Hara 10 times during the year, the first two times he doesn't count. Chas Hashem is somebody who violated something in Shabbos 10 times during the year, the first 2 times he discounts. Mm-hmm. In case Chas Hashem is somebody who ate non-kosher food 10 times during the year, the first 2 times he discounts. So the Gemara says that's Mavir, Rishon, Rishon. The first 2 sins don't count. The first 2 sins don't count, so it may turn out that even though in the sum total of all of the averes that he did, his averes really outweigh the mitzvahs. He really did more averes than he did mitzvahs, but if you're going to discount the first 2 times that he spoke Lashon Hara, discount the first 3 times that he violated Shabbos, etc., etc., so then it may turn out in his favor that he had more mitzvahs than he had averes. This is not bad. But the Rambam then proceeds to explain a little further. Something that doesn't really say in the Gemara. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, when he quotes that passage from the Gemara, says, turns out, after discounting the first 2 times that the fellow spoke Lashon Hara, the first 2 times that he violated Shabbos, the first 2 times that he ate non-kosher food, etc., if it turns out that he did more mitzvahs than he did averes, then God will forgive all of the averes because it gives you something from higher mathematics. I was a math major when I was in college, but this is at this graduate work. He gives you higher mathematics and he says, well, if he took Lashon Hara 10 times, we discount the first 2 times. So the 3rd time is the first time. So you cross out the 3rd and the 4th. And the 5th time is the first time. So the 1st time is the 5th and the 6th. What kind of a joke is that? What kind of a game is that? And that's what we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We ask God when we pray, Ma'aveh Rishon Rishon. We're not just asking Him to forgive the first 2 times that we spoke Lashon Hara. I'm afraid to say that wouldn't help too much. We ask Him to forgive the third time should be the first, the third, the fourth should be the first two, and the fifth and the sixth should be the first two, and the seventh and the eighth should be the first two, and so on. What kind of higher mathematics is this? That you cross over the first two, then the third is the fourth of the first two. Not to be understood, look at all the commentaries that I have along with them, and nobody explains how that works. So that's what I'd like to discuss. The Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah, start from Rosh Hashanah, I'll get to the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of shofar, to blow the shofar from Hashanah, you don't really have to blow so much shofar the way we do. Simple proof is that when someone is in the hospital or somebody is an older person who can't come to shul, so the doctor is coming up to blow at home, or to blow at the hospital, they don't blow so many kovos, they don't blow 100 kovos like they blow at shul. They only go 30 kovos, shloshim kovos, that itself is a chum, 30 kovos itself is a chum, that's a tachon of the go, that's more than enough. So why did the rabbis institute the Gemara asks, love the token of Marim Shehen, Kishehen Yoshin, the token of Marim Kishehen Mondim, so why did the rabbis institute the shul of the Shemoshim so much? So the Gemara says, in order to confuse the subject, how exactly do we confuse the Sotah? So Taisus on that passage has a confusing interpretation. Everybody knows in Taisus they don't know the Rashi. Everybody knows Taisus has a very difficult explanation that when Mashiach will come, there will be a shofar that will be blasted. The Kol Shofar Shel Mashiach. And when Mashiach comes, then the Sotah has no right to attack the Jewish people, to say anything bad about the Jews. Every year we fool the Sultan into believing on Rosh Hashanah that Mashiach has come. And every year, he doesn't have a calendar, he still doesn't run. Every year he makes the same mistake. Because he hears the Shofar so much, he thinks, oh, there must be Mashiach's power, and there's not allowed to condemn the Jewish people. And every year he makes the same mistake. We don't understand exactly what the Sultan is, we don't exactly understand what this means to confuse the Sultan. So let's go down to Rashi. Usually we should study first Rashi. Rashi gives a simpler shot, an easier shot than the one. Rashi says, what is the complaint that the Sultan has against the Jewish people? Whatever Sultan is supposed to represent. What is the complaint brought against the Jewish people on Aseres Beit Shuva and the Yom HaDin? That we're not religious, that we violate God's laws, so we don't care to keep his business. So on Rosh Hashanah, we show that we care very much. A person doesn't really care to keep the mitzvahs. Even if he does the mitzvahs, I'll just do the bare minimum. Just try to get away with as much as possible. Just stop. You ain't sitting down and do the mitzvahs and run away. We don't just do the bare minimum. Lama Tokim Ibrahim Kishay Yoshim Tokim Ibrahim Kishay Yoshim. Why do we go so much shaper above and beyond the call of doing? We go more shaper, much more than we have to. And in fact, the later generations after the times of the Talmud Institute, what gives? We blow 100 times. That doesn't even appear in the Talmud. We blow 100 times the shofar. Why do we blow so much shofar? To demonstrate to everybody that we love the mitzvahs, we cherish the mitzvah of shofar so much, even after we fulfill the mitzvah, we keep on blowing shofar more than we're obligated to do because we simply love to do the mitzvah. So this will confuse the Satan. The Satan comes to complain against the Jewish people that we don't care for the mitzvahs. What we demonstrate is not true. We love the mitzvahs, we cherish the mitzvahs, we do the mitzvah above and beyond the call of duty. That's a problem. What about that billion and a half averus? What about the billion and a half averus? You could take a few that we violated all year long. What do you mean we cherish the mitzvahs? So the answer is no, that's just a mikra. It's just a little accident. That really doesn't count. The mikra really is that we really love the mitzvahs and we cherish them. So this is really what the Gemara tells us. Gemara says, Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Zayin, that God forgives, he doesn't count the first two times of the Speak Lashon Hara, the first two times of the Chal Shabbos, the first two times of the person that doesn't eat kosher wine. So the Gemara says, Mami Rishon Rishon, he forgives, he doesn't count the first two times. The Kachi Hamido. How do you translate that? The Kachi Hamido. So Rashi says, the Kachi Hamido. Rashi always gives simple chant. Kachi Hamida Rashi says Hamidim. What do you mean that's the minute? Where was that the minute? What community? In Gashkar? What do you mean the minute? A little difficult Rashi. So the Rashash explains what Rashi means. Rashash explained with a simple mashal. We understand the Rashash better than people who drive cars on the street. Let's say you cross through a red light, you go the wrong way on a one-way street, or you go speeding, and the policeman catches you, and he starts to make out a ticket. He starts to plead tahanun. Officers, it's the first time I ever stepped. I didn't know this, I didn't realize it was a red light, I didn't realize that it was a one-way street, so he starts to plead tahanun. So one of the officers said, I'll let you get away with it this time, but don't let me catch you doing it again. You do it again, I'll give you a ticket. So the Rashash said, that's what the Gemara means, v'kachi amin, v'kachu amin, that's the way the whole world runs. If the policeman doesn't give you a ticket, he doesn't punish you. The first time, the first two times, it's only a minute, it's only an accident. You can tell you your way out and say, it was only an accident. But if the person does the affair a million times, I can't come with that. What's the ticket title? It's an accident. A million times, it's a shem lechazotik. So obviously, repeats the Aveira many, many times. You can't have this time anymore as an accident. What if you repeat it so many times? It's no longer a mikra. It's no longer an accident. The Rif, in his commentary on the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, on this passage, where the Gemara says, Ma'aveh Rishon Rishon, that God discounts the first two times that we Mechal Shabbos, the first two times that we violated Kashrus, the first two times that we speak Lashon Hara. The Rif quotes another passage from the Gemara, the end of Yuma. The Gemara, the end of Yuma, quotes on that Tevot of the Leis. Pasuk in the Novi Omos, the second paragraph of Omos, a famous pasuk. Al shlosh kol ma'ashem, al shlosh pishi Yisrael ve'al ha'kol lo yashimem. I'll let the Jewish people get away with it the first three times that they sin, but if they sin a fourth time, I will not let them get away with it. That's too much. So the Rif says, and the Gemara comments on that pasuk, the Gemara Yuma comments, if they do it Aravera once, God lets them get away. If they do it Aravera a second time, they'll let them get away. Do Aravera a third time, lets them get away. Do Aravera four times, Then he's going to punish them on the fourth time, he's not going to let them get away. So the Rif in his commentary on the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah, says that these two passages are similar. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, Ma'aveh Rishon Rishon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu discounts the first two Aveiros. The Gemara says there in Yuma that HaKadosh Baruch Hu discounts and only punishes on the fourth Aveiro, very similar. So the Maharsho comments on the Rif, very similar, but it's very dissimilar. Here it says two times, here it says three times. It's not similar at all. It's a spirit, a contradiction. What did the Rif put together to the Gemara? So don't blend it. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, from the third time one will punish. The Gemara Yuma says, from the fourth time one. The Chmam is the Hekav, the opposite is a contradiction. So he said the Rif is wrong. The Mashal says, the Mechilas quoted the Rif is wrong. This Kashin that the Maharshor asks on the Rif is asked by the writer on the Rambam. The Rambam, 99 out of 100 times, just copies what it says in the Rif. The Rambam copies this also and Hilchos Teshuvah. The Rambam puts these both passages from the two Gemaras together in one halacha, Perikei, and Hilchos Teshuvah. And he says, and he gives you the terrors without even posing the kasha. He says that there's a distinction. He says if you read the passages in the Gemaras, you see that they're talking about two different things. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah speaks about an individual person. The Gemara Yuma speaks about the Jewish nation. So the Gemara speaks in Rosh Hashanah about an individual person. The first two times he does the Aveira, the Baruch Shalom lets him get away with it, no punishment. And the third time on, he'll be punished. And the pasuk the Gemara quotes in Rosh Hashanah is, Ein kolele yifal peel, yifal keel. This is the way God runs his world. Pamayim v'sholosh im gober. With an individual person, im gober, with a person, he lets him get away with the Aveira the first two times, and the third time on, he punishes. The Gemara in Yuma quoted the pasuk in Amos, where the pasuk speaks about the Jewish people. Al shlosha pishi Yisrael v'alachol ha'ashamed, the Jewish nation, when you violate an Aveira, they repeat the same Aveira three times, the Rebbe Shalom will let them get away with it. If they repeat the same Aveira a fourth time, then the Rebbe Shalom will not let them get away with it. So the Rambam quotes the Rif, who puts these two passages together, and he comes to answer the kasha that the Maharsho is bothered with. Here it says two, here it says three. So the Rambam explains that one is for Yochid, and one is for Tzitzit. The Rabbi commenting on the Rambam says he doesn't see this distinction in the Gemara. Here it says two, here it says three. The two Gemaras have nothing to do with each other, and he gives a whole different interpretation where they're really unrelated. What is back of Pshat in the Rambam? What's the difference between a Yochid and a Tzitzit? So the simple Pshat and the whole concept of the Shemishon seems to be, that of a fancy explanation, seems to be as follows. The Gemara in Yevamos speaks of the concept of tazokit. The term tazokit is a halachic term, but it's a very confusing term. It appears in the Gemara in so many different places with so many different meanings. You always have to keep your head on straight to figure out which chazok are we talking about. Sometimes we have, if I want to buy real estate from somebody else, like, how do I become the owner of the karka? How do I become the buyer? So I can make a kin chazok. If I improve the property, if I put on a fence, if I lock the door, that's a kin chazok. Then there's another din of chazok. If I have a watch in my pocket, or I have some keys in my pocket, and there's a sirsut to determine who it belongs to, I'm a mukzok. If I have the chazok, so we say possession is 9/10 of the law, that's called a chazok. That's totally unrelated to the other chazok. Then you have a chazok, mishtot of the chazok, that you have a piece of meat in the refrigerator that was kosher, and you had a milk container and it was leaking, and you open up the refrigerator one fine day, you weren't away for a while, you open up the refrigerator and you see that the milk is sitting in the bottom of the meat, and you don't know how long was it sitting in the bottom of the meat. If it was soaking for 24 hours, then it means that it's straight, you can't just wash it up and squeeze out all the milk and make it kosher. But if it was soaking for less than 24 hours, or under certain circumstances, not all the time, there's kibbutz kibbutz. That's rabbi. Sometimes it will declare, the halacha will say that it doesn't become kosher. You just rinse it off, get off all the milk, and the meat will become kosher. So what do you do if you don't know whether it was soaking for 24 hours or not? I know that the meat used to be kosher 4 days ago. It was kosher. I just don't know whether it became kosher. So then we apply the principle of chazok in the main korban. Chazok in my sins. I know as of 4 or 5 days ago, this meat was kosher, and I don't know whether anything changed or not. So I say status quo. I declare that the situation didn't change, and I assume that it probably, I am soaking the milk, it probably was soaking the milk less than 24 hours. So that's a totally different concept of chazok. There, some people must remember from the days when yeshiva is the parent of the basma, it's called parent Chesed Sabbat, and that's a totally fourth area, a totally different area of chazok. That if I'm living in a house or living on a farm for 3 years, and I claim that I bought it from the previous owner, and the previous owner says, "Oh, proof, where's the document?" And I start to hand it over and I say, "I lost the document. I can't be held responsible for all of my documents forever and ever." So the Gemara says, "If it's after 3 years and I claim that I bought it and it's mine and I paid for it and I just misplaced my document, so then I have the document. It's after 3 years, so I'm with it. But if it's within 3 years and the original owner says, "Where's the document?" and I start to hand it over and say, "I lost it." So he says, "You're a faker." And Desmond will say, "How could it be? You misplaced the document within 3 years. Everybody holds the document for at least 3 years. You should know where it is. So then I'm going to have to surrender the karka and give it away to the individual owner." So that's a different chazok. Totally, each chazok is unrelated to the other. And then the Gemara has a sukkah of chazok and the Yomis, a totally different sukkah of chazok. We made a bris mila on a little baby. And soon after the bris, the baby dies. What was the cause of the death of the child? Who knows? It could be any one of a million or one reasons why the baby died. So do we have to start to dream that maybe the child will be hemophiliac? Maybe this woman will have another baby? Or if the mother's sister, if any one of the mother's sisters will have a baby, we should be afraid that maybe that child will also be hemophiliac. Chalemus, maybe. Maybe there's going to be a spaceship will come in from Mars and from the shore. Chalemus, why? Why should we craft this as a child has the movie? And it takes such a wild thing. Why should we think like that? Just because one baby died, this isn't even a latest asafi. This is an abnormal thing. It's a mikra. It's just a chance thing. It's a mikra. The Yama doesn't even establish a asafi. We're not even worried that maybe the next child will have a porphyria. Of course, today the way to test is, you go to a good doctor. I'll tell you whether the child had a hemophilia or not. So, well, no. In the days of the Talmud, they had no way to test it medically. We were just guessing, so they wouldn't know. They said, one baby dies, no shot. What if the woman loses 2 seconds, she has another baby before, they make a priest. And the next baby also dies right after the priest, or her sister. One of the sisters, the mother said, also, no shot. I said, one of the sisters has a baby boy, and the boy dies soon after the priest. So that we say, still be correct. Still just an unusual occurrence doesn't indicate even that there's a suffix. My lady is a suffix, and she might say no. If the tray's in there, you already have your chazok. If the thing repeats itself twice, then I say, no, now I have to start worrying that maybe it indicates that there is something. Maybe there's a suffix that there is in your field. All you need is a suffix. You don't have to have that it's a valid suffix. If you have a suffix upon it, then you're forbidden, then you're prohibited. Gemara has a dispute. Strange dispute between the Tanaim, whether the trace of Nihavi Hazaka or the plus Sidney Hazaka. How many times does an unusual thing have to recur? I should say, oh, it seems to form a pattern, and it's not just Mikra the Yahweh. Gemara has the same question with respect to a Kaplanis. Gemara has a whole discussion, a woman is married and her husband dies. There's a young, healthy man, all of a sudden he dies from nothing. We don't know what the cause of the death is. Gemara says, should we say that it's something unlucky, something unhealthy about being married to this woman? Some kind of a disease that he must have gotten from her, some shemayim, perhaps the gezer, that this woman should be at least almana, that she should always suffer, she shouldn't have any parnasa. So it will be dangerous if she'll marry another man, maybe he'll also die either from the same disease, or maybe he'll die because of his gezer in her shemayim, that she should be at least almana. So the Gemara says, no. A woman loses one husband, and she be a suffix, that maybe there's a Zerah HaShemayim on her, maybe a disease, that's a Mikra B'yala. What happens when two husbands die? The woman's married to the second husband also died. Mysterious causes. Yeah, nothing was an accident, nothing, someone heard it in touch. We don't know what the world the cause of death was. So how many times does this unusual occurrence have to repeat itself that we should declare that there's a latest a suffix, that maybe there's something fishy going on? Gemara has a dispute among the Tanaim, whether the trace in the Havachazaka or the glass in the Havachazaka. Does the Mikra have to repeat itself two times or three times? And I should say that there seems to be an indication that there's a pattern. How did the Tanaim get the numbers 2 or 3? Why did the Havachazaka go to 8 or 9? Why did the Havachazaka go to 17 or 18? Because that's not the Shabbat 2 or 3. The first Shabbat seems to be because the Chumash speaks of such a thing. The Torah has a din of Azal. Man has some kind of an unusual disease. And it's hard to believe that he has a disease. So if he just has one symptom, he has a Zab Bariyahas, you say, God, that was a Zab. It's hard to believe that he's a Zab. So we declare that he's Tomei, when we say he's Tomei Akumas Balkeri, not Tomei Akumas. If he has the symptom recurs twice, Zab Ashtemit, then the Torah said that he has the full din of Tumaza, except when he becomes Tor, if he counts the 7 pure days, he becomes Tor, he goes to the Mikra, he doesn't have to bring the Kabbalah. If he had the symptom recur 3 times, the Mishnah speaks of the Zab al Sholosh Minos, then for sure he really had that disease, no two ways about it, then not only does he have to wait 7 pure days, he has to bring a Korban on the 8th day after he's Tumaza. So the Mishnah states in Megillah, Ein Bein Zav HaReish, they mean it's the Zav HaShalosh Minos, Elikon Mubah. There's a Zav, there's an institution of the Zav HaShalosh Minos. There's a bit of a Zav HaShalosh Minos. It's even a homage that when an unusual, strange occurrence takes place, we don't think that it's going to necessarily develop the kind of pattern. It just happens once. It's a Mikra B'yala. It doesn't mean that the person has this disease. A fluke. If it occurs twice, there's something there. If it occurs 3 times, then there's something there. So the Tanaim, Adam HaShloikes, which one should we pick on? Should we say the real din is when the strange fluke occurs 2 times, then it's already on the Yisrael Sofer. Then it already indicates a pattern. In fact, if we have to wait until the 3rd time in order to have a carbon, that's a special din over there. That's how she suggests the reverse. In fact, if we have to wait until it occurs 3 times, that demonstrates that the plus in the Havi Chazoka. To have the strange loop recur 3 times to establish a Hazok, and then you can establish that you have a pattern here. And I love it, that stays in the Zab HaShemi, some kind of exception to it. So that was the dispute that the Tanaim had, whether the trace in the Yahweh Hazok or the plus in the Yahweh Hazok. So how do we pass it to the Lord of Isis? So the Torah says, it's not a clear cut star, a color per rule, all over the same way. The Torah says, the only moment, it's the end of all the input, that sometimes the same trace in it, sometimes the cluster is by Kaplanis, by the woman whose husband died mysteriously, and with respect to the woman whose son's died or the sister's son's died after the first meeting mysteriously, we say that the trace in it. This repeated itself twice, we already said, oh, seems to me that it's developing a pattern, so that it's a subject, sometimes the question is wrong. And with respect to Vestos, for Sharamu, or other cases, says you have to have the plus and you have the Hazak. So the Rambam seems to have understood that there's no contradiction between the two passages that the Rit put together. Whether the Rambam only discounts the first 2 times or the Rambam discounts the first 3 idea of discounting the first two Avedas and the first three Avedas, what is it based on? The Kachi Namito. That's the way everybody runs in their mind. That's the way everybody runs his business. The person does something wrong once or twice, he say, ah, it's only a fluke, it's only a deeper beyond. The person will not even publish on that. But if the person keeps on repeating the same Avedas, that shows that it's not a fluke. That shows that he really wants to do the Avedas. How many times does the person have to repeat the Avedas? The person should do the Avedas, we assume that a Jewish person should do the Avedas and not even do it. It's against his nature. But when the person keeps on repeating the Avedas, we say, well, that already developed a pattern. And it's not a mikra, it's not just a far-fetched thing. He's demonstrating that he really is interested in sin. So the Rambam understood the Gemara to distinguish between a private individual as opposed to Klal Yisrael. If it's an individual person, then he betrays him, they have a chazor. That if he did the other only once or twice, we say that's a fluke. First one's going to let him get away with it. Don't let him catch you doing it. In general, I'm going to punish him. The first two times he does it, we're going to whole Klal Yisrael, that's already more difficult to say. The whole Jewish, the whole shul, the whole city, the whole Jewish community, the whole kehillah, is bullseye to do an aveira. So there you have to have the stronger form of chazokah. The Rambam says, yeah, I say the klazim behind the chazokah. This is the first step in understanding what Rambam is trying to say. What's the idea that the functional, that's the person get away with the first two times, or that's the Jewish nation get away with the first three times. But then how does the Rambam continue? What does he say? Then, once the Zoshimon says, the first two times, Loshon Hara, we're going to discount. The first two times, Shabbos, we're going to discount. The first two times, praying, we're going to discount. Then, if we have to discount, like these two others, those others, come there, but they're all always in our areas. But he makes this Cheshman, the third and the fourth, become the first and the second, the fifth and the sixth, become the first and the second, and he keeps on wiping everything off. How did that work? What's that all? I think we have to just study a little more Gemara, so we'll understand that also. It's not so complicated. When we speak about tshuva, what does that mean, tshuva? We have 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So we have 612 mitzvahs. You have to keep Shabbos, you have to keep Kashrus, you have to keep Taras and Shvacha, you have to sit in the Sukkah, you have to count on the people, and so on and so forth, a whole list of 612 mitzvahs. And Aharek and Rosh HaKohen, after we read through all the 612 mitzvahs, then we have the 613th mitzvah. And in case we do any Averis, in the case we're lax in observing certain mitzvahs, we have to do tshuva. So all the commentaries say they don't understand what in the world they need the 613th mitzvah for. If you have to keep Shabbos, then you have to keep Shabbos. If you're not an observant Jew, you don't keep Shabbos, you have to start shaking yourself up and keep Shabbos. So he says you have to keep Shabbos. What do you need another mitzvah to do tshuva for? The mitzvah of Shabbos tells you to do tshuva. Of course you have to keep Shabbos. Why do you need a 613 mitzvah? Whatever, anyone who's lax and anyone who's 612 mitzvahs, he's mitzvah v'yosef for those 612 mitzvahs to straighten himself out. So that's why all of the Mepharshim say that the Rambam was bothered with this problem. And when the Rambam gives you the definition of the mitzvah of tshuva, he doesn't say that it's a mitzvah to stop doing sins, and to stop doing the mitzvahs that you're famous to. That's not the mitzvah of tshuva, that's the mitzvah of Shabbos, that's the mitzvah of kashrus, that's the mitzvah of tzitzis, that's the mitzvah of tefillin. You don't need an additional mitzvah of tshuva. The Rambam says, when a person finally realizes that he was sinning, and he stops sinning, when the person finally realizes that he has to make kiddush, he has to shake a lulav, he has to fast on Yom Kippur, he has to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur, whatever, all the mitzvahs, all the 612 mitzvahs, the Torah, the Rabbanah, all the moments of wonderful mitzvahs that we have to keep, and the Averis that we have to violate, and finally realizes that he did something wrong and he straightens himself out, so then the Rabbanah says, he has to recite Vidui, and that is the mitzvah of Tshuva, to recite Vidui. And the Pasuk says in yesterday's Torah, Kui Mokum Varim. You have to speak to the Baruch Hu. The fact that you have to stop doing the Averis and you have to stop doing the mitzvah, that's not a mitzvah of Tshuva. The mitzvah of Shabbos and the mitzvah of Kashrus. You don't need an additional mitzvah of Tshuva requires. When the person realizes that he did something wrong, in addition to stopping his improper activities, and in addition to starting with the mitzvahs, he has to say, Vidui HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Rambam says that this was so in the days of the Beis Hamikdash, when the person was required by the Torah to bring a korban. That person is Mechal Shabbos accidentally. By mistake, he didn't realize it was Shabbos. Watch, stop, and he thinks it's still Erev Shabbos, which keeps him doing his work in the office, writing back to them. And he realizes it's late, it's Friday night, it's not Friday afternoon anymore. So he's required to bring a korban, bring a sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam says, what do you think when you bring the sacrifice to the Beis HaMikdash, you gain the kapara? No, the Rambam says, the sacrifice enables him to daven better. The Pasuk says, and Shalom HaKor is Hosein, also on yesterday's Haftarah. When Shalom HaKor is Hoseinu, in conjunction with the korban, with the korban, with the oxen that you bring to the temple, we have to pay lip service, we have to daven up and grow, and say, be doing this for forgiveness. And the Talmud has an additional interpretation on the pasuk. Everybody who studies the Torah knows the additional interpretation, but we always forget the basic, the translation of the word. The additional interpretation goes as follows, that when the holy temple is no longer in existence and you're unable to offer any sacrifices, how do you acquire atonement? So the rabbi said, Mashalma Forex Tosedo, that if you read that section of the Siddur, read that section of the Chumash, it has the laws of the sacrifices, so whoever studies the Dinim of the Korbanos, is considered as parechet as if he had offered the korbanos. That's the most he can do, that's all he can do. So this is the additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. The Shalma Forex is the same. We pay up the korbanos that we're obligated to bring with lip service by studying the laws of the korbanos. But the Novi Hosea, the prophet Hosea, who is the author of yesterday's Haftarah, lived in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. He's not talking for the days when there's no Beis HaMikdash. So the simple translation of the pasuk, the Radak on the pasuk says, and the Rambam quotes like this, right beginning in the Moschuta, the simple translation of the pasuk is, in conjunction with the offering of the korbanos, the person has to recite, be doing, he has to do tshuva, and he has to have harav, he has to feel bad. And the Rambam writes, if the person brings all the sacrifices and he doesn't say be doing, he doesn't do the tshuva, he doesn't acquire any atonement. Not that the day of the temple you bring your sacrifices and you can walk out and you don't have to say anything, you don't have to do any tshuva. Not at all. The offering of the korban enhances my tefillah, so I can get a kapara when I'm being mispalalei. So what is it that we mispalalei for? Rabbi, what the mitzvah be doing, the mitzvah of tshuva means you have to be mispalalei, you have to pray with Kapara Baruch Hu. What is it that you have to do? Of course you have to stop doing that, but what is it? In addition to that, what constitutes the mitzvah of tshuva? First of all, after the Kapara Baruch Hu, they should no longer be angry at us. We believe that the Kapara Baruch Hu, the Kapara Baruch Hu is all over and sees everything that we do. We do any Aveva, but we don't listen to Hashem's mitzvah. So when Mamash Morit, the Bnei Hamelech, we're spitting the king, spitting in front of the king's face, the Rosh Hashanah is all over, we're doing Aveva in his presence. We have to ask, but they shouldn't be angry anymore. Why should he say it? Not only should we stop doing that, but we have to ask, please don't get angry. Don't get angry, have our hearts. Then, even if the Rosh Hashanah stop being angry at us, we have to ask, please don't punish me. Have our hearts, don't punish me. Then, not only do we ask, don't punish us, we go further on Reagan, we ask after the Baruch Hu to remove the consequences of the Aveira. Because the prophets will say that the person wasn't Aveira, it leaves a stain on one's neshama. The neshama is tainted, just like if a person falls into a mud puddle. So he will feel shaken up and his suit will get dirty also. So the person doesn't have anger, he will be shaken up. And the person will be angry at him, but even if he stops doing that anger, the person will go wrong angry. His clothes will be dirty, his neshama will be tainted, he will be stained. So he wants to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to wash off my clothes. He asks the Rosh Hashanah, have rahmanas on me. Cleanse my neshama to the entire neshama. And then there's a further bakasha that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only should God wash off our neshama, we can't allow God, he should cleanse our neshama. From now on, until now, our neshama was tainted. Now we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to cleanse it. Some kind of an additional stunt over here. That the Talmud quotes from the Psukim in the prophets, that we ask the Jewish people have this karachu. Other nations in the world don't have this additional parachute. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to consider it, how does this work? I have to understand. To consider it, is it we made a mistake all along? Is it the Aveira was never Aveira? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be quite clear the Aveira on the prayer? We should consider it as if the Aveira had never been done intentionally, as if the Aveira was always done to shake it, and shouldn't count, and it should turn out as if Rosh Hashanah had never been tainted in the first place. Not just that we count on more, he washed off Rosh Hashanah, but he got covered in the mud puddle, and the clothes got dirty, and I sent it to the cleaner, and it's as clean as new now. No, but for a day or two, it was dirty, until it became clean. But we do this Tshuva Shleimo, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for total forgiveness, and the commentaries say, I mean, no, but this only applies to the Jewish nation. But then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes forgive our sins in such a way that we consider it as if the Aver had been done in error, a mistake in the very beginning, and there never was any stain on the Shalom, it's like the Aver of our prayer. This is, in fact, the reason why we start calling the prayer on the night of the Yom Kippur. Because if the person takes an oath, if someone takes a nether or a shuhir, that he's bound to observe what's a separate Ishma. So Yaakov Torah, he has to keep whatever his oath was. But Talmud adds, known to us only through the oral law, only through the Torah. The Gemara says, the Mishnah says in the end of the first chapter of Hagigah, there really is no offering the foolish to this principle of Hatoras Kondor, that the person of the nether, when he comes to a desert and knows three people, and he explains that he really didn't realize what he's getting into over here. If he would have realized, he took a nether and left to eat certain types of food. He got angry at the butcher, so he's not going to eat any meat, period. Then the doctor said, the other one doctor said, it's very unhealthy, you have to have some meat, you have to have some meat, some kind of silly nether like that. The person says, he comes to a desert and he says, Father, I realize how unhealthy it is and how difficult it would be to keep this nether, I would never take a nether in the first place. So the best of the three people declare the nether as having been taken in error, and it's considered as if the nether was never there. So imagine how the world would look if we would do that all the time. Our basis stocks. What are basis stocks? Go up, then
stocks
go down. So go up, that Moshe Rabbeinu used, when Moshe Rabbeinu prayed to God after the Chet HaEgel, after the Jewish God, forgive the Jewish people. So the Gemara learns out in the Sukkim that the Gemara recites his we believe. And Yom Kippur, he also has to use that same phrase, oh, I have to ask the Gemara, please forgive the Jewish people. And we read this in the Siddur, in the Matzah on Yom Kippur. But it's very strange, our salvation used to say, oh, from the Tarshan, very strange when you read the Matzah, the Musaf on Yom Kippur, the Gemara said, oh no, first the video begins, oh no, Chatosli, obviously, Oshayi, Rufana. Please, Rabbi Shalom, I have sinned. And he says, oh no, please. Kapano, la hatar, 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 the second time he says, oh no, we understand. He says, please, Rabbi Shalom, forgive this sin. Oh no, kapano, la hatar, forgive. But the first time he didn't say anything, he just says, I did an aveira. So what does it say? Please, God, I did an aveira. What do you mean, please? On the Chantasi Abisi, he says, God, the whole Jewish people are saying, what did he ask me, please? He didn't ask for anything yet. So the Bali Musa in Europe used to always say, you have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please give me the ability to recognize that I made a mistake. As most people, 99 out of 100 of them, they say better, 999 out of 1,000 people will never have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They'll never realize that they did anything wrong. So we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first step in Shabbat, you have to have a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they realize that we did a sin. Then the second step is after realizing that we did something wrong, you have to have the courage to stop doing the thing that's wrong. That's elementary. That's obvious. That's not part of the mitzvah of children. That you have to realize that they did something wrong. You have to stop doing the wrong thing. That's the mitzvah of Shabbos. That's the mitzvah of Lashon Hara. That's the mitzvah of Milas Chasadah. The mitzvah of Tzedakah. That's the mitzvah of Kashrus. You don't need an additional mitzvah of children for that. The additional mitzvah of children consists of the additional things that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to punish us. Have Rachmanis, don't punish us. Don't be angry anymore, don't punish us. Yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to cleanse our neshamas. Then, the most chutzpahdike bakoshin of Yeshki is, we should cleanse our aveiros, milim achreya, retroactively. We should consider it as if we made a mistake from the very beginning, as if we didn't really know what we were doing, and it should be considered as if the sin was done in error, b'shege, and the neshamas should be purified, milim achreya. So it's for that reason that I'm Kippur, we're asking for this. All of these levels, including the highest level of Kapara, and we first recite the Kol Nidre. The Kol Nidre sets the tone for the notion, the legal notion, that there is such a concept of being like something in the middle of Afreya. I took a nether, I took a shmur. And I knew what I was doing at the time that I took the shmur. I wasn't drunk, I wasn't crazy, I was in my right mind. I was a little sad, I was a little depressed, I was a little happy, I was a little whatever, giggling. A little drunk, but I wasn't so drunk, I knew what I was doing. And still we declare that when the person goes to the desert later and he has total karakter, or he shows a pesach, he shows that he really made a slight mistake, we declare that the nether had been taken in error, we declare it's oikir ha-nether milam afreya, the desert is oikir ha-nether from the very beginning. So the same is true on Yom Kippur, when we ask the Kaddish Baruch Hu to forgive our sins, we ask for the most chutzpahdike bakasha, he should forgive our sins, consider as if we had made a mistake from the very beginning, and it should be discounted as if we never did an avera, as if our neshama had never been stained. So that chutzpahdike bakasha has to have first an introduction. If you, Ribbono Shel Olam, have taught us that there exists such a concept, you told us through the Torah Shemal Peh that there's an idea of hafaras nidorim, that we can declare the nether as a nether b'toyes retroactively. So we have to also to declare the averas that we have done as averas b'toyes, retroactively. It's interesting that commentaries say on the Gemara that the Yud Gimel Midos, Shem Hashem, Kedrach, Mechanim, and so on, only apply to the Jewish people. Because when Yechanan states in the Gemara, Lamed Shnitzat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kashniyat Tzibur, God's Quran, the acting room is put in our palace, and as if he's serving as the Chazan who recites the Slichas, and he told Moshe Rabbeinu, whenever, Kol Zman Shebonai Choytim, whenever my children sin, or Kol Zman Shebonai Choytim, whenever they should recite the Yud Gimel Midos, and I will forgive you. So from the expression used by the Talmud, it appears as if the segula of the Yud Gimel Midos, the forgiveness of sins, only applies to the Jewish nation. And there are so many passages in the Nevi'im, where all of the Nevi'im call upon the Jewish people to do tshuva, that be forgiven, using expressions implying that tshuva only works for the Jewish people. On the other hand, we read Maftar Yoyin on Yom Kippur. Maftar Yoyin says explicitly that the Yud Gimel Midos apply in the non-Jewish world. Well, not only Maftar Yoyin on Yom Kippur, every day the same snippets. We say, Ozit Tzedakah is called Vasa Meruah. Kadosh Shiva gave the ability to do tshuva to all the people in the world. But at the same time, when we say this text of Ken Baal Yesh and Kisirach, we say, Moichel Adon is Amor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgives the sins of his nation, and then we say, Oitzes Sadokis and Abbas Avunach, he forgives the sins of all the nations. So there's a contradiction in any way. In the Talmud, you have the contradiction, and in the Tfilos, you have the contradiction. We say that tshuva is possible for all people in the world, and we say that there's some tshuva that's only for the Jewish people. So all the commentaries say, yes, that there's one level of tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to all the people in the world, that there's one special level of tshuva that he only gives that opportunity to the Jewish people. Which of these different levels? And the commentaries explain. I remember Rosh Hashanah, I was walking home from the yeshiva. I live right near Yeshiva University, and I was walking home, so all the Puerto Ricans in the street in the yeshiva say, Happy New Year. So I greeted them, Happy New Year. Thank you very much. So I thought to myself, they're greeting me Happy New Year, they hold that it's my New Year, their New Year is January 1st. It's not really true. Rosh Hashanah is not only a Rosh Hashanah to which we put Rosh Hashanah is for
the world. Thank you so
much. The Mishnah says, and that's what we say in the Davening, who judges every single person who works on Rosh Hashanah. And how do we know that that's so? Where did they get that from? Look in the Chumash. It doesn't say anyway that the whole Rosh Hashanah. It doesn't say Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaAviv. It's not called Rosh Hashanah. The word Rosh Hashanah doesn't appear. It says the first day of the seventh month, you should celebrate Ahadah Be'echa B'chedesh HaShvi, Chedesh HaShvi'echa HaChedesh, you should celebrate Ahadah. It doesn't even call it Rosh Hashanah. How did the Gemara get this whole idea that it's Rosh Hashanah, it's the Yom HaSin, the God's Yom HaSin? Where did we get that from? So we say the Davening where it comes from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Olam HaRishon on Rosh Hashanah. We say, Hayom HaRasai Lam, today is the birthday of the world on Rosh Hashanah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in 6 days. And the sixth day of the Sheshes made Reishes was Rosh Hashanah. The beginning of the B'yah Shemam Rosh was written the 25th of Elul. Rosh Hashanah was the sixth day, that was the first day of history, when there was a human being in the world to record what's going on. So Rosh Hashanah was the first day when Adam Rishon was created. On the day he was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took him into Gan Eden and he told him not to create Zadat. An hour after he was commanded not to create Zadat, he already violated Gan Eden. The very next hour, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged him and punished him, chased him out of Gan Eden. That's how the Russians said that everything happened on the very same day. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged the Rishon, punished him, he told him at that time, I judged you today. This is the first day of the show. In all future generations, I will judge all of your descendants also on this day. On the anniversary of the judgment day that you have, I will judge all of your descendants. So this is an oral tradition that the human race has from the days of Adam Rishon. That's what he's saying in Davening. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Adam Rishon from the very first day when he was created. You know it by Adam Rishon, just like I'm judging you today, so I will judge all of your descendants throughout all future generations. So, Rosh Hashanah, in the Chumash, it's never called Rosh Hashanah, it's never called the Yom HaDin. But how can Hanai know that it's so? They had the Rambam right, so this Rosh Hashanah, this was an oral tradition from the days of Adam Rishon, past our born his descendants, but that was the day when he was judged, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judge all of his descendants. So Rosh Hashanah, the Talmud assumes, is the day of judgment of all the peoples in the world. What about Aseres and Yeshuva? That the Gemara assumes that just like there are different seasons of the year, in the summer it's warm, in the winter it's cold. Speaking about Domo, and Shavki, and Kunam. And if you're interested in planting oranges, you don't go to Alaska to plant oranges. There's some things that grow in Alaska, there's some things that grow in Florida, there's some things that grow in Wyoming. There are different climates that are suitable for planting different things. So too, the Gemara says that the Aseres Yemei Tshuva these days are more than suitable for Jews. The Gemara comes on the words of the prophet, Yishlo Hashem Yimo So, you should search out God, he's more readily available. The Gemara says, when is he more available? It's more simple, there are different seasons of the year. What is that idea that Rosh Hashanah? Is that only for the Jewish people or for all nations of the world? So the Svarim write that this is for all nations of the world. This is for the non-Jews as well. Why is it called Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Because the Russians tell us in the Talmud culture, the Rosh Hashanah moon and man, when he meant to create other, when he created a human being, other means Tzadik Baruch Hu, Shiyasa Tovah, yeah? Tzadik Baruch Hu knows he's going to create such a human being, who will certainly sin? How is it possible that a person should sin? So before God created man, he already created the concept of truth. Gemara says that truth is one of the seven things that preceded the Bria Sareno. Because the Rosh Hashanah had truth built in. He's going to, he planned to create such a man who is certainly going to sin. He's going to create a man who's certainly going to sin. He's not going to be a concept of truth. So the whole world will collapse. And how much is wasting his time to make the world is going to come down. He had to have a built-in clause. He had to create the concept and the ability of tshuva before he created the world. So it's that reason that starting from Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is the day of the creation of man, the first 10 days after the creation of man, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a special segula to these days. Like there are different seasons of the year. There's fall, and there's winter, and there's spring, and there's summer, different seasons. So too, there's a tshuva season. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Koveya, he designated the first 10 days after the creation of man. The first day he was created was Rosh Hashanah. The next 9 days, 10 days are singled out as the season for tshuva. So Aseres Yimei Tshuva are the days that are more suitable for tshuva for all people in the world. Because when he created mankind, he knew in advance. He planned in advance to create such a type of a human being who will be subject to sin. And if he wouldn't give this human being the ability to tshuva, so the whole creation would be away. So he had to build in, had to build this in. So that's why the Aseres Yimei Tshuva is singled out. What about Yom Kippur? That Yom Kippur is considered the Ketz Mechila Slich. Yom Kippur is the day of forgiveness for all sin. Is that also for all the nations of the world? That you look in the Chumash, you look in the Rambam, that's not. So in the Chumash, you may only say, Achar Aleich in the Paris, that's only for the Jewish people. Look in the Rambam says, Yom Kippur is the Ketz Mechila Slich, that's only for the Jewish people. What is the difference over here? How come Rosh Hashanah day, I think everybody, it's their submission, we understand. When God created man, when he invented man, he's going to have such a nature, he's going to sin. How do I have to have such a concept of truth? So he designated these 10 days as being one of the civil truth. But the Yom Kippur, the Yom Kippur sin, that's only for the Jewish people. So this seems to be based on the following notion. This is what the commentary is explaining. Many swarm is playing this. The Navi calls out to the Jewish people to put Shuvu. He says, Shuvu Bonim Shabbat. Calls upon the Jews to put Shuvu because they are Bonim, children. The Talmud has a whole discussion. The Jews are always called Bonim. Sometimes they're not allowed to call Bonim. So the Gemara makes it very clear that the ability to do tshuva, to have tshuva shleima, is only for those who are considered bonim. Those who are not bonim cannot have tshuva. This is a passage, an interesting passage in the Gemara in Maseches Chagiga in the second day. The Gemara says there was one time, the Rebbe of Rebbe Meir. His name is Elisha ben Avuya. He's a very great Talmud. And the Gemara says he was somehow very interested in studying philosophy and Kabbalah, whatever else, and somehow he became an atheist. He became a big up the curse. And the Gemara says that when Meir was pleading with his Rebbe, even after he was an up the curse, he wasn't observant anymore, when Meir was pleading with his Rebbe, he said, the children, the Baruch Hu will accept them back. And he said, no, we once heard a gospel come out from heaven and declare, Shuvu, Bodem, Shabbat, Levat, Meyachir. That everybody should do tshuva except for Achim. He was known as Achim. Elisha ben Avuya is always referred to him as Achim. So they didn't want to call him by his name. Like Gemara says, his son is such a big Russian. So they say, Shem Shoyim Yirka. We don't want to use his name, even we call him that Meshumrit, that Russian. We don't even want to mention his name. So this Elisha ben Avuya, this Tanakh, who started off as a holy Tanakh, somehow after he became non-observant, anti-religious, apocryphalous, atheist, everything, all the way, they stopped calling him by his name, they called him Achim. And he says, he wasn't heard, the voice come out from heaven, behind the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Samigdash used to be, after the destruction of the temple, he heard this voice that said, Shuvu Bonim, Shabbatim, Rabbat Meyach, everybody's Shuvu will be accepted, except for Achim. That was what he was called Achim, so obviously they're not going to accept his Shuvu. So I remember many years ago, Soloveitchik was very interested in philosophy, so he was very interested in this passage in the Gemara. Spent a big chunk of his life, spent about 10 good years of his life, spending a lot of time in addition to Gemara, the Yeshiva Yeshiva, he's deeply into philosophy of that dynasty. He was very interested in this whole discussion more about the Sadisha and Abuya, but we came up the curse because he was studying philosophy. Remember many years ago, but you must remember that Rav Soloveitchik used to give a Yortzeit Shiva at Spa, because Yortzeit used to be 4 hours long, divided into two sections. The first 2 hours would be a Shiva and Gemara, Rabbe, Adin, and Kiddush, and all of that. And the second half would be a long rush of the 2 hours, Agudah. So I remember as a young boy, the Rabbi used to keep on talking on this theme of the Shiva and Abuya, these Gemaras, around 3-4 years in a row, he was talking about these Gemaras by the Shiva. I remember on one occasion, he suggested the following interpretation of the Gemara. He said he doesn't think that the Gospel came out from heaven and said, Shuvu Kodesh Shavuot Mevat Me'achat. That was not the quotation. The Gospel just said, Shuvu Kodesh Shavuot Me'achat. The Gospel just said what the Rabbi said. The throne calls on all his children to do tshuva. Those who are bonim can do the ultimate tshuva, all the way. But the Tanoim knew how to darshan sin. And the Tanoim hold that the term achim and vein are contradictory. So if you have a pasuk that says achim, you can't refer to a vein. If you have a pasuk that says vein, you can't refer to achim. So the Moshe, the Gemara has a din. The din is that if a couple are married, and the wife dies, and they have children. And the wife happened to have a Yerusha from her family, from her father. The wife is independently wealthy. If the wife dies, who gets the Yerusha? Do I say that her children get the Yerusha? Do you say that the husband gets the Yerusha? The Gemara says that it is in Habal, which is in Shetima, your children. Normally, the person dies, the children get the Yerusha first. So here, there's a special process that the husband gets the Yerusha. Where is that process in the world? It really doesn't say it's listed in the Homish. Or he writes, the Torah says that when Zalotha died, that was something on that board. And the rest of them. And people from that shame came to complain to Moshe Rabbeinu that when they marry, if the girls are going to marry into a different tribe, then after the daughters, so the girls are going to get the Yerusha from their family, they're going to die, and the Yerusha is going to go to the tribe. So there's a taina. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what it is, so he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Set up for this generation, for the first generation until after they divided there was a storm of days of Yeshua, and after the first 40 years of Yeshua, the Shem Shechilku, there was a special gift that only applied in that time, the Chobas Yeresh is not going on any girl of the Yarshim of Yeshua, the father is not permitted to marry outside of the tribe. Why? The Hasisa not going to Mata, the Mata Acher, in order that the Yeshua shouldn't go, yes, if the daughter will die, the Yeshua shouldn't go to another tribe. So the Gemara says, who's going to get the Yerusha? Who's going to get the Yerusha? Obviously, we're afraid the daughter is going to die, and her husband is going to get the Yerusha. So you see, in the Chumash, the husband gets the Yerusha. So the Gemara says, what kind of a raya that doesn't prove anything? They're going to have children. The girl's going to marry out of the tribe. They're going to have children. And the children are going to be considered from the shavit of the father, not from the shavit of the mother. We know the father is a kohen, and the mother is not, so the children are kohen. The father is not a kohen, the mother is a kohen. The children are not kohen. It all depends on the father. So if the mother is from one tribe, the child will be not the woman of the tribe of the father. Maybe the pasuk simply means that the children will get the Yerusha. And it says, Masisim Nachman Mata, the Mata Acher, it means that a baby Yerusha Sima. How do you know that it means that the Baal Yerusha Sima? Then you mean the children Yerusha? How can you prove that pasuk? So the Gemara says, Yeshnev, it cannot be. If the Chumash says, the Mata Acher, Bein la Rahir. You don't call a woman's own son Amata Acher. The word Acher can't refer to Bein. The Bein is so close to the mother, he wouldn't even know he's from a different tribe, because the son is determined his tribe is according to the father. He wouldn't call that Amata Acher. And similarly, the Gemara has such a comment on another passage, says in the Torah, if a man dies, that the whole of the house is an Ish Acher. The Gemara has a whole discussion, who is that Ish Acher? Does that mean anybody she wants to? Does that refer to Yibum? So the Gemara says, he can't refer to Yibum because he wouldn't call the Yobam an Acher. Acher means a total. shivu be accepted except for us. No, the Paschal just said shivu bar shavav. Paschal said over the Paschal that the Navi said. Paschal recited the Paschal. But this Elisha ben Navi, he wasn't yet known as Achay. We call him Achay, the day the Talmud called. While he was alive, they didn't call him Achay. They didn't call him Achay way later after he died. So the Paschal can't say shuvah barim shabbat and barim shabbat. He didn't have that nickname at that time. The Paschal just said a pasuk shuvah barim shabbat. But as a good Tana, he darshan the pasuk. Like any Tana would darshan, like any Amar would darshan. tshuva will be accepted, it says Torah. No, the Paschal just said tshuva boi shavavu. Paschal said over the Paschal that the Navi said. Paschal recited the Paschal. But this Elisha ben Navi, he wasn't yet known as Achay. We call him Achay, the day the Talmud called him. While he was alive, they didn't call him Achay. They didn't call him Achay way later after he died. So the Paschal can't say tshuva boi shavavu morat Achay. He didn't have that nickname at that time. The Paschal just said a Paschal tshuva boi shavavu. But as a good Tana, he darshan the Pasuk. Like any Tana would darshan, like any Amara would darshan. If it says Bonim, so Bonim means not an Acher. Means the Tshuva, the highest level of Tshuva, Tshuva Shleimo. He said the different levels of Tshuva, the most chutzpedik, the level of Tshuva, the most chutzpedik of Bakosha that we ask for is that we go, we should forgive our sins, Milam Afreya, retroactively. We should consider as if we had never sinned on purpose. The whole thing was just a mistake. This highest level of tshuva that this stunt works, that you can do such a thing, that's only for Bani. That only applies to Bani. So Elisha ben Avuya felt by himself that he was too far gone to be called a baby. He judged from Paschal on himself that he was such a sinner. He had gone away so far, he thought that he can no longer be called Bani. He's considered an Acher, and therefore the Paschal is not, the Rebbe Shlomo is not going to give him the ability to do a full tshuva. So he decided on enough alayim, the paskin of zif alayim, that the full tshuva would apply to him. And the Rav said he made a mistake. Every Jew is bonim. No Jew is excluded. Everybody is called bonim. No one is called an ayah. This was his psak, and it was wrong. At the paskin and the shirti. He wasn't really considered ayah. We historically give him the nickname ayah. But the paskin never said we're not going to accept this tshuva. He made his own pshat, he made his own drasha, and he applied to himself his drasha that his tshuva would not be accepted. Why should this be so? What is this all about? So the Mepharshim explain as follows. How does that work? That the Rebbe Shlom should consider this if all the averes that we did were all mistakes. But what was a mistake? The person knew quite well what he was doing. He meant to insult the other person. He meant to malign the other person. He knew that he was talking Lashon Hara. And they warned him 1,000 times and he did it amazing. He didn't have to warn him, he did it on purpose. Well, he knows that it's not even kosher to do. What means a mistake? How does that work? So the Rebbe Shlom explained as follows. When the Rebbe Shlom created the world, he gave everybody, every human being, a seven other kids. Jews and non-Jews alike. Chavavav was delivered itself. But when he created the Jewish people, he endowed us with something additional. Chavim in Yisrael Shemikru, Bonim Bahar. We have some additional bonim. What is the matter of being Bonim Bahar from all the seven other kids? So the Talmud has an expression that appears in various places. That a child always follows in the footsteps of the father. Many times you look at a child and you can tell who his father is by the facial features, by the way the person pronounces the words, the way he speaks, the way he has, the way he walks, the way he talks, the mannerisms and so on. So the Gemara has such an expression, it's a halakhic concept also, but the Gemara has such an expression that Ruach Karada Ruach. God created the Jewish people in such a way that we are carried out more. We follow in the Rebbe Shlom's ways. More so than the other side. What does this mean? So the Baal Tanya has a long essay on this. That every Jew, even a person who is a Russian Gomer, really has a hidden love to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we call it Ahava Ahavas Kuteris. Every Jew really has a hidden desire to do this in a nice and faithful. Even if he's sick. And he quotes the Pasuk, this is an instinctive thing. This is innate. When every Jew is born, has innate desire to do this. So the Baal HaTanya quote the Pasuk in Tilu Kala, Yo, Tara, Kala, Piki, Royim, like the gazelle in the jungle, knows instinctively where to find the fresh water. Ken Tara, Nashi, and Rabashan. So too, the Jewish soul searches for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and desires to do terrible business. I do know that Rousseau already published his book, his whole thesis of Tavia Lavaza, that when a neshama is born, when a person comes into this world, his mind is a total blank. He has no innate, he has no instinctive desire to do mitzvahs, to do averus. It's not true. So the answer is no contradiction. Elo v'elo divin kipan. Rousseau is right, and the Baal HaTanya is right. As far as Umas Olam are concerned, there is no instinctive drive. Like when the baby is born, he has a blank mind, he has no innate feelings to do good or evil. And everything is developed later based on education, based on circumstances the baby's brought up. Shani came back in Israel, we assume that it's not so, but we're so sad it's true for the other nations of the world, with the exception of Israel. But Israel have an Ahava Hamsun Teretzah Hashem, because we are one in Mamakam. This doesn't come because human beings are created to tell them anything. This only comes because Baruch HaRadi HaVor. But we are one in Mamakam, so we have this feeling towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we have this desire to do this with Hashem. The Rambam has this famous passage in Halach at the end of the second paragraph of the Gerish, the old father Musaf, quotes the Rambam. The Rambam writes, quotes the Mishnah, that sometimes it didn't require that the husband has to give his wife a gift, but the husband is miserable to his wife. He doesn't give her any money to buy clothing, so she walks around. She matters all the time, doesn't give her any money, he doesn't entertain her, doesn't take her out there. A lot of times a man is wealthy. A wealthy husband, he doesn't want to take his wife there to Israel, he doesn't want to go on vacation to Switzerland, he can afford it, and the thing says that he has to. He doesn't want to buy nice furniture, nice clothing. The thing is that according to how much he can afford, he will be able to spend on his wife. He's not allowed to, just because when he got married, he only made $30,000 a year, he can't insist now that he wants to maintain the same standard as the Bible says, that whichever family has a higher standard of living, whether her family, his family, he has to treat the wife accordingly. If he can afford it, within reason. But if the husband can afford it, then says he has. What if the husband is a miserable shooter? He doesn't treat his wife as so the wife has the right to insist she wants to get. So what if she can insist from today to the next day? The husband doesn't want to give it yet. So the husband will break his own. So the Mishnah says, Makinos, don't beat him up, but she ever raised on it. Until he says, I want to give it yet. And he still doesn't want to give it yet, so to beat him up, then she become an almana. Maybe she become an almana, she become a crucian. That's the thing. Unfortunately, today we don't have the ability to do this. We don't have the best, but that's what they used to do in the days of the Mishnah. That's what they did in Europe. Either she become an almana, or she become a crucian, if that's what she wants. She has a chmanos on her husband, she has a kidek, she has one, okay. But she insists she wants that yet, but she wants to get rid of this husband one way or the other. So the Allah says that they have a right to force it. Gemara asks this question, what do you mean they're going to force the husband to give a get? Because you can't force on a get. If the get is given by Baruch, it's no good. If the husband really doesn't want to give the get, then they're holding it around, they're ready to shoot, so it's not good. So what good is it if the Bezdin forces it? So the Gemara gives an explanation, one line, the Rambam gives in the whole paragraph. The Rambam says at the end of the second paragraph of the Gerishim that every Jewish person really wants to listen to what the Torah says and what the rabbis say. So if the rabbis say that in this instance you're wrong and Yosha dictates that you have to give your wife a gift, that we know that that's what you really want to do. What do you mean you know that? I don't want to do that. What do you tell me what I want to do? The rabbi says that's a pseudo personality. That's not really you. That shtick, that something superimposed upon the real you. The real you, deep down inside, really wants to give it. But he says he's not going to give it yet, so they beat him up until he finally says, Reitza Ani. When he says, Reitza Ani,
it's real
the real Ani really is Reitza. The real self, his real personality, really wants to listen to what the rabbis say, what the Goroshon says, what the Torah says. But we assume that every Jewish person is born, not Tabula Raza, that's the Rousseau, and Rumas Oyla. But as far as the Israel are concerned, there ain't no Tabula Raza. We believe that every person has an Ahava, Hashteris, Prophet, Prophet, hidden desire to do everything that the Rosh wants because we are born in Mamoto. And as born in Mamoto, we are Brook Aradabu. The Rosh Hashteris used to come and where does this come from? Where does this Ahava, Hashteris come from? So he knows say that the Gemara has an Agadah passage in Talmud that before every Jewish baby is born, the angel, the Malach, teaches the baby calls her Gula. And then as the baby is about to be born, the Malach slaps the baby on his cheek. Jewish folk will ask that he hits him over here, and that's where the threat comes from on Shat of the lips. But that's not what it says in Talmud. Talmud says the Malach slaps him on the cheek, and he makes him forget everything. So Rabbi Zalvage goes and says, he doesn't understand. If the angel is going to make him forget in the end, so why does he teach him in the beginning? Isn't it an exercise of humility? What kind of a mean angel is that that makes him forget everything? The kid already grew bigger than he knows everything. It's wonderful, so why does he make him forget? So he always says, the angel makes him forget, so Nishken Adler, because he's going to forget everything anyway. Because whatever you don't work hard on, easy come, easy go. If you don't work hard to study Torah, if you have an angel pouring everything into your head during the 9 months that inside the mother's body, so you got to forget everything anyway. So, this is terrible, it's not so good. In fact, the angel makes him forget his paper. The angel is doing him a favor that later on he shouldn't remember anything. He should have to work hard, but it was terrible because the Gemara speaks about how important it is and how great it is to have Kabbalah. The person has to strain himself a little bit. If the learning of Torah comes so easily, so it's not so wonderful. It's better that he should have to strain the heart and work a little bit. But still, the other question is still in place. If the angel knows that he's going to make him forget, which is not an avdan as well, so why is the father teaching him everything in the first place? He's going to make him forget, so don't teach him the first place. That's why Rav Leshek said, no, where did this Abraham Sederis come from that every Jewish person has in a sense of we are born in Lamok and we broke our Lamok, that every Jew wants to do Ratzon Hashem? Even if he's a Russian, we say that's a pseudo-personality. His true self really yearns and desires, Kayol Barabar, Afikimon, Kinash, Kayol Barabar, Hashem, where does this come from? That's where it comes from. The fact that the Malach teaches Korot Barakudo, that's where it comes from. Because the Torah is not stop. The Torah is not just a collection of laws, tzitzis, and tefillah, and shofar, and kriyat shema. It's not just a collection of laws. We believe that the Torah is a representation of Chokhmas Hashem, of the wisdom of God, Kuvah Chokhmas Yechor. It's not like a human being that my body is one thing and my wisdom is something separate from my body. When I was a little baby, I had no sefer. I developed, I grew older, I developed sefer. So my sefer, my wisdom, all the Chokhmas have something that's in addition to my own self. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a body and a sefer that's something separate. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a sefer nigdo. All it consists of is the sefer. So the Chokhmas Hashem, the Torah, is the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Malach teaches every baby, every Jewish child before he's born, in order to give the child a glimpse of that, of course, the Jewish child should know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like, what the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like. And at that time, it is implanted in every Jewish child this Abraham Sutera is towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's for that reason that we assume that all of the sins that Bnei Yisrael do are really mikra. Really, it's against our nature. If we really desire, every Jew has an innate desire to serve Hashem and to do mitzvah satera. So anytime a Jewish person doesn't have it, it's really a pseudo-personality. It's a false self. I teach students, college-age students. You see a lot of students put on shtick. They dress funny and they talk loud and they scream and they pray and they do all kinds of shit. And then by the time they graduate college, they straighten up. And some of them don't straighten up so soon, so then when they get a job, then they dress nicely and then they straighten up. Some of them still don't straighten up, so when they start dating and holding by getting married, then they straighten up. Some of them straighten up. They have to be get married, some of them never straighten up. But basically, the person is putting on shtick. This is not his real self. When he's screaming and dressing and shooting and breaking and so on. This is putting on shtick. This is not his real self. So if you give a person, if you give a normal person long enough time, he will ultimately straighten himself up. A person only lives to the age of 120. We don't live forever. So sometimes people put on this act, they put on the shtick. And they never straighten up. They're putting on the act forever and ever. We assume, though, that a Jewish person, if he would live longer, if he would live to the age of 1,000, he would ultimately come back to his own self. He would straighten himself out, and he wouldn't continue to put on shtick. It's abnormal to keep on acting not like oneself for too long. Forget about favorites. It's abnormal if the Jewish personality has this innate desire to do Ratzon Hashem, to act the way the Torah wants. This is not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. It's abnormal, so we assume that ultimately, some way along, some time along the way, the person was straightened out. So unfortunately, a lot of people die before they have a chance to straighten out. The Jewish nation as a whole lives forever. So that's why the Rambam writes, the Gemara has a dispute in the end of Masechta Sanhedrin regarding the Geulah HaAsida. Can we visualize that Mashiach will come and the Geulah HaAsida will occur without the Jewish nation being children? But we assume that's not possible. Only if the Jews will do tshuva, then there will be a Geula. If they won't do tshuva, if the Jewish nation will not be kept as a nation, then there won't be any Geula. So that's the opinion that the Rambam quotes. And it's the Yad HaZal. Ein Yisrael Negolim Ela B'tshuva. The Geula will only occur if the Jewish people do tshuva. But then the Rambam asks Akasha, the Rambam says, well, we know that there's B'chir of options. People have the choice. Freedom of will. They can choose to do mitzvahs, so do our mitzvahs, they can do choose whether they're not supposed to, but they have the ability to choose whether they want to repent and do tshuva or not. So how can the Torah promise that there will be a Gula Hasidah? Maybe Mashiach will never come. The Jewish nation will choose never to do tshuva, How can that be? That's one of the 13 principles of Emunah. We believe that Mashiach will come and there will be a Gula Hasidah. How can that be? If the aim is only going out of the tshuva, the Gula will only occur. It will be a national tshuva. The whole nation will do tshuva. And who's to say that the nation will do tshuva? We have a Chiruv Hashem. The Rambam says no. For his Ticha HaTorah, the Torah has promised us that the Jewish nation will ultimately do tshuva. That's what we read in Parshas Nitzav. But how can the Torah promise that the Jewish nation will do tshuva? So what happens to the Chiruv Hashem? The Chiruv Hashem means you have freedom of choice. What do you mean the Torah promised we're going to do tshuva? How can that be? It means the Rambam Shalom is reading the whole thing. He controls our minds and our hearts, and he's going to force us to do tshuva. So what happened to the Chiruv Hashem? So Rasul Meshach always used to say, it doesn't mean that the Rebbe Shalom is going to give tshuva. The Rebbe Shalom created the Jewish nation with an Abraham, the superiors, to love him. Whenever any individual of the B'nai Yisrael, or when the whole nation does love him, this is against their nature. It's against this Abraham, the superiors. So how long can a person go on with this filthy? Like the little children when they mature, so they don't put on the shtick. They straighten out. They act themselves. They don't act like someone else. They don't become outside shtick. And sometimes they don't mature as teenagers, and they mature when they graduate college. And sometimes when they're on the job. And they have this build a shtick, and the boss fires them, or they have a six of the divorce, and they realize they better straighten out than act normal. So therefore, sometimes they have to wait till their wife straightens them out. So people ultimately straighten up. So, but a person doesn't live forever. A person has a little luck. So sometimes people just never straighten up. But the Jewish nation lives on forever. The Jewish nation has mitzvahs. So can it be imagined, the Rambam says, we cannot imagine that the Jewish nation should live on forever with the vilna shtick against its own nature. If the nature of the Jewish nation is that we have this Avraham Soteret towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately it has to straighten itself out. It's not that God will control our hearts and our minds. And he will cause us to do tshuva. We on our own will straighten ourselves out and act ourselves. And the main way the Rambam writes, So this seems to be the Pashup Shat of the Rambam. But the Rambam made this computation of higher mathematics. He said, when a person speaks Lashon Hara 10 times, he eats straight 10 times, and the first 2 times don't count. Why? Or when the Jewish nation sins, the first 3 times don't count. Why? All of a sudden, it was only an accident, I didn't mean it, I'm not going to do it again. Back to Rav Shach gave the Moshe. So the Rav Shlom says, okay, it was only a mikra, it doesn't count. But if the person repeats the same Avera, straight in the Hadikazokya, or if the Jewish nation repeats the same Avera 3 times, and the whole nation is, and it's more wild, and the whole nation should become sinners, still I say, with plus in the Hadikazokya, 3 times they establish a Hazokya, and they show that it's not a mikra, it's not just a fluke. Not something unusual. You develop a pattern. Once the individual of the Jewish nation develops a pattern of sin, they really meant to sin. There's no time anymore that this is a fool. So Baruch Hashem is going to punish. But when the Baruch Hashem is told me by forgiving, then he makes this funny calculation. He says, the first two Averis don't count. And the third and the fourth become the first and the second. And the fifth and the sixth become the first and the second. And the seventh and the eighth. What do you mean? A billion and one Averis, everyone is the first and the second. But he punches them off two and two. The answer is yeah. He said originally, "Lo shayfer avashishone above and beyond the call of duty, lo alad of kia shayfer." To demonstrate that chavivim hamitzvus avenu, we love the mitzvahs. If we didn't love the mitzvahs, we just afyetzit zem, we go to shayfer and run away. We love the mitzvahs. We linger on with the mitzvah. We keep on going shayfer more than we have to because we cherish the mitzvah. Aye, what about the billion and one? The billion and one. Trillion of mitzvahs that people did, like all of them did. That was all an accident. That was a mistake. We demonstrated that Rosh Hashanah that we really love the Rebbe Shlomo and our real self really wants to do mitzvahs. All the averes that we did during the year, not only the first two, all of the averes were just a mikra. Everything was a mistake. This concept that the Mefarshim explained only applies to those who are bottom level. By the Jewish nation, the Rebbe Shlomo will forgive everything. The third and the fourth are also mikra. But Yom Soilam, I say the first two don't count. They would say the first three don't count on a national level. But to say that then the third and the fourth become the first and the second, the fifth and the six become the first and the second. That only applies to those who are bottom of bottom. That everything is proved by them. Every avera that they do is a proof. So the Ganeshlam will wipe everything off, build them off prayer retroactively, and say that everything doesn't count. Everything was a mikvah, everything was a fashayu. That's an observation. We should say, Halel Yom Kippur. After we say Kol Nidre, you don't have to respond to this. La, the Faladad, the Yisof, the Gera, the Yisof, the Kilafah, the Ganeshlam should be everybody, we give everybody, because all the avera is not fashayu. The Averis were done amazing. I meant to take revenge for that gun, and I called up his boss and I said he should fire him, and I got his wife to ruin the marriage, and I got the children not to talk to him. I ruined his whole life. What are you shaking? I knew in advance, but I don't know what kind of shaking. That pasuk says the Chumash in a different context. The Torah has a different thing. If the chief rabbi is there, so the Bez Nagol, make a mistake, they fasten that you're permitted to turn on electric lights on Shabbos. Sure. They fasten that it's only forbidden to strike a match, and you're permitted to turn on the roof. The chief rabbinate says you've got to turn on the lights. Everybody's going to turn on the lights. And a year later, the chief rabbinate changes their mind, and they realize they made a mistake. So they printed the newspapers. Nobody should turn on the lights anymore. We made a mistake. You're not allowed to turn on the lights. It's a real biblical violation. So what happened to all the people who mahal Shabbos accidentally showed you all year long? Under normal circumstances, the Torah says that whenever somebody chalikas and chal Shabbos by mistake, the shogeg has to bring a korban Shabbos. Here, where it's the fault of the chief rabbi, the Bez Nagol is at fault, because they passed the letters mutter. So the Torah says, let them bring a one korban par hem lev shel tzibur on behalf of the entire Jewish community. God will forgive all the Jewish people because we all made a mistake. We're following the Pesach that does not work. That's put in the context of the Pesach Lumash. What does it got to do with us? That on your Kippur night we say, God should forgive everybody sins, but every Kilchol Ha'om Dish Gogo, all our areas are done to shake you. What kind of a shake it? I know some people who really do have areas amazing. How do you think you shake it? So the answer is, but if one is really bottom of up, and one is really a thing, and the rock hard of war, everything is a fruit. All of the other areas. Not only the first two. The third and the fourth become the first two, and the fifth and the sixth become the first two, and the seventh and the eighth. Everything becomes. All zillion, trillion, billion of areas become the first two. And the Baruch Hashem has learned that we give everything retroactively because it's going to declare everything as a mistake. It was all b'shegim. This kapara, this chutzpah dikabakash, that he has kapara before, that he should forgive all of our sins because we really didn't mean it, even though we didn't mean it. We really didn't mean it because it's really a single personality. It wasn't really us. This is only reserved for the Jewish people. And that's why the Mepharshim come down that Yom Kippurim, Rosh Hashanah, is a day of judgment for all the people in the world. So he called the judge of the Rishon. And he told them, the Rishon, because those who are doing the Mepharshim, he told them that every year on the anniversary of this day of judgment, he's going to judge all of his descendants. Aseres Nebet Shukr is built into the nature of the world. The Mepharshim created such a man with such a personality that he's total of the sin. But he had to create the concept of tshuva before the world. It's one of the seven things that he instituted before the Bria Soilom. So the first 10 days of the Bria, from Rosh Hashanah on, he designated it as Aseres Yemei Tshuva for all people in the world. All people in the world. Like summer or winter is for all people in the world. We can see this Aseres Yemei Tshuva for everybody. But that Yom Kippur is a Yom Kippur Slich, and that's only for the Jewish people. Why? Because why is Yom Kippur a Yom Kippur Slich? Mishnah tells us at the end of Taimus that they used to celebrate Yom Kippur very differently from the way the days of Mishnah were celebrated very differently from the way we celebrate today. It was a day when the boys used to go out on dates with the girls used to dance in the vineyard, and they would make shidduchim, and that's perhaps why the minhag today is the minhag that when we daven mincha on Yom Kippur in the afternoon, the Kriyas HaTorah, we read the Chumash, in the Parsha HaRayis, we read which relatives you're not permitted to marry, which relatives you are permitted to marry. What does it got to do with Yom Kippur? There are many commentaries on these marks because that's what used to make most of the shidduchim were made on Yom Kippur. They didn't sit in the shul and daven all day long. So the Mishnah says Yom Kippurim, Chamishos Avav, were the two jolliest days in the Jewish calendar.
They had a break.
So the Gemara says, why is Yom Kippur such a jolly day? So the Gemara says, well, we have two good reasons. First of all, the Yom Kippur didn't know the Torah. is the day on which the Torah was given to the Jewish people. When was the Torah given to the Jewish people? The Torah was given on Shavuos. But the second Shavuos, Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the second set of the Aseret HaDibros, the tradition has it that it came down on Yom Kippur. And so the second book has been given on Yom Kippur. The Gemara says another reason why Yom Kippur is designated as such a jolly day is because it's the day of Mechilas HaBayis. So commentaries on the Gemara explain that these are not two unrelated reasons. The reason why Yom Kippur was designated as the day of forgiveness for the sins for the Jewish people, not for the Umas Olam. The Aseres Mei Tshuva were designated as Dusha Hashem Yimotza, a season for tshuva for all people in the world. Like summertime is warm, and wintertime is cold. So it's made sure that the Yimotz HaKadosh Baruch Hu is more available to people if they're interested in doing tshuva. That's for everybody. That Yom Kippur, Yom Kippurim, was designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the day of Mechilah. That's only applicable to the Jewish nation. Why? That's the positive in the why? But the reason why Yom Kippur is Mechat is because of Yom Shemit Nivatayu. Because the Kapara of Yom Kippur is we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to treat all of the Averis with B'Shoyim. This time of Hadad and Yisrael, and Cholam Mishgoga. Everything was a mistake. Why was everything a mistake? Because we all have this Avraham Soteris to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who has this Avraham Soteris? It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. He gave us the Torah before we were born. Malach gave us the Torah, he brought us the Torah before we were born. That's why we, amongst all the nations, have this Avraham Soteris. That's why we, on Yom Kippur, can have this chutzpah to give our kosher. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu should judge everything as if all of the Averis were done, he showed it. And it's interesting, when we daven all year long, and when we daven on the Asliches, and the Shud, and the Kippur, we daven on the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Avinu and Malkeinu. We use two different expressions. Avinu, we call Kadosh Baruch Hu Avinu, we are Bonim. Malkeinu, we are Avinu. So which are we? We are sometimes called Bonim. Sometimes called Avodah. When do we apply which words? So the Gemara has a discussion of this, and the Zohar as well has a discussion. So the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, several, like the Loshanan, Ben Avram, other Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon point out that it would appear that the Misadri HaTfilo, those who composed the text of the Shemon Esrei, as we recited all year long, seem to have assumed, like the Zohar, that the two terms, Bonim and Avodah, the Malkeinu refer to different segments of the Jewish people. Those who are into learning, those who are not into learning are called Bonim. Those who keep mitzvahs are called Avodah. And the Zohar gives the mashal like the father would love his own son, and he entrusts his son with all of the keys of the whole house. He gives him the keys, the kid can go into all of the mitzvahs, all of the vaults and all of the safes and every room he can run around. The Avodah, he doesn't give all of the keys to everything. In certain cases, some rooms, but not all rooms. The Ben can go into all of the Oitzris of his father. So too, those who are into learning are called Bonim Lamach, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them the ability to search and to swim around in the entire Torah. These are the Ginzei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, these are the Oitzris. How do you see this from the davening that the Sadri HaTfilo Sikra, the Sur, like the Zohar? Because when we daven in the Shemon Esrei, we say every day, HaShiveinu Avinu V'Sevah Secha, Yikorveinu Malkeinu Avinu V'Sevah. So we use the expression of Avinu, Hashem Avinu, and Hashiveinu Malkeinu. And we say two different things. Hashiveinu Avinu, the Sor Vasecha. We are Bonim because we are Malkeinu. Hashiveinu Malkeinu, Lavod Asecha, to the observance of mitzvah. So in the Siddur, it would appear that the expression of Avinu with the relationship is one of Bonim. That refers to those who put the Torah. Expression of Avodah refers to those who read to Avodah Sefer, to the Avodah Samit. And the same repetition of Avodah Machem, we have a Slachon, Avodah Machem, Avodah whenever it comes to Tshuva, we speak about Avodah Machem and Bonim and Avodah. But the truth of the matter is that the Koyach HaTshuva of Bnei Yisrael is only because of the Bonim. As the Baskol said, the Pasuk, Tshuva Bonim Shavuot. Tshuva, the highest level of Tshuva only works for those who are Bonim. So we don't mean to say that there are some Jews who are Bonim, some Jews who are Bonim. When we daven the Shemon Esrei, we say every day, the same Chalkei of the Sarasev, not only the Rabbonim, not only the Talmidim and Yeshivas ask, the same Chalkei of the Sarasev, and the Shemon Esrei gives us a lot of Torah. Everybody daven, the same Chalkei of the Sarasev, and the Shemon Esrei gives us all our share and our portion, the men and the women, the children, everybody daven. We assume, we believe that every Jew has a chayes kibbutz. Some people have a gigantic chayes, some people have a large chayes, some people have a small chayes, but everybody has a chayes kibbutz. It's not that we say that Jewish people are divided into two categories, those who are banim and those who are avodim. See, are all banim. Everybody is banim. Some we call avodim because that's the stress by them. But it's not that they are avodim to the exclusion of banim. They are all banim because every Jew has a chayes kibbutz in the third. And for that reason, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was kovei on Yom Kippurim as a Yom Mechilas Avodah, because the Koyach HaKadosh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu implanted within the heart of every single Jew before the individual is born, the Koyach HaKadosh what purifies the Neshama, what gives the person this aspect of being a Bro Karad Avua, that gives him this Ava HaMasutera towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's not that some people are Bodim, some people are Avodim, some people have a relationship with the eventual Avinu, not in that market. The end is, all the Bnei Yisrael are Bonim, and the Bnei Yisrael is Avinu for everyone. But by others, the stress is not placed on the Avinu and the Bonim. The stress is placed on the market with the Avinu. But it's really the same thing as the Seva. All the Bnei Yisrael are Bonim. And it's for that reason that Yom Kippurim, which is the day when we celebrate the Kabbalah Sateru, was designated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the day of Mechilas Avodis. That day, that enables us to have this highest level of truth. And what should encourage all of us to rethink our ways and do truth with it is just to think about who we are and what we are. What are we going to do? Build a shtick to act not in accordance with our own essence. Our essence is one of a person, every Ben Yisrael is one who has an Ava Toda Kodesh. So whenever we do our veils, whenever we fail to do mitzvahs, we are simply not that it doesn't pass for us, but simply not acting in it normally, we're not acting in accordance with our own true selves. This should encourage all of us to do tshuva. We should realize who we are and what we are. And these are actually the two different piyutim that we sometimes use in the Mea Slichas to introduce the piyutim of Eos. The first time we say Yudhi Omidus, every time we recite Slichas, we say Kedara Hatayim Atano, Obala Vakna Yudhveshna, Yudhera Tshuva Hares, HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads mankind on to do Tshuva. We don't speak about any deep forms, very serious forms of Mechilas. There are Tshuva, the Baruch Hu teaches us how to do Tshuva. He gives us the ability to have a Hakaras Lachet to realize that we're doing something wrong. He gives us the ability to change our ways. It's very difficult to change. And then we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, David and the Barak and have Rahmanas, don't be angry at us, Mecharanat Peshuv. We ask, don't be angry anymore. And then we ask him, Uvitzel ten Afecho, Nechesed v'nislono, protect us in the shade of your wings. What do you protect us in the shade of the wings? You know, when you say, Akel Malerachim, and someone says, what do you want to say about? And for us, the Abba HaMasuteris is the correct thing and the correct philosophy. And it's because of this Abba HaMasuteris Leah Rabban Kippur, that all of the others were fruit. I remember many days ago, a person who wasn't a believer was telling me, you can't believe in the story that it says in the Bible. That's ridiculous. The Jewish people, they have to see Esa and Matthias in Israel, and having Kriyas Yamsum, and Mayim HaSinai go and they worship an Ego HaZoha. That's utterly ridiculous. If I would see such Nisan and Rosh, how is it possible for the whole one should, the entire nation worships Avodah Zarah? Isn't that crazy? The Gemara says that. Oh, the Gemara says that. The Gemara says it's impossible. The Gemara says, how did it happen? It was a fluke. So the Gemara says, from the fact that the Chet Ha'egel was a fluke, it is HaReizeh, Bola Lamed HaKol HaKlam, Ula Yotza, the Gemara says, all Avodah Zarah are a fluke. Any other that comes to that. But the Gemara gives the ability of this Yom Kippur, every Yom Kippur, to fulfill this Tziva Yavonavi, that Shuvah Baruch Shalom, we should all only realize that we are robots.